In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. A lawyer asked the Lord, testing him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? The word lawyer here doesn't mean attorney, but means a person who was interpreting the law of Moses. So a lawyer here is derived from the word of law, as we have different categories among the children of Israel. A category called scribes, those who used to type the scripture, and the lawyer, those who are skilled in interpreting the scripture. So this lawyer wanted to challenge the Lord Jesus Christ, to test him, to test his knowledge of the law. And he told him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? But the Lord answered his question by another question, as if the Lord was telling him, why do you want to challenge me? You are a lawyer, and you understood the law very well. So tell me, what is written in the law? What's your reading of it? And there was a tradition among the Jews to divide the Ten Commandments into two groups. The first four commandments, which they regulate the relationship between man and God, and the other six commandments, which regulate the relationship between the man and his brother. And they used to summarize these Ten Commandments into two commandments. The first one, which summarizes the first four commandments, is love the Lord your God. And the second commandment, which summarizes the other six commandments, love your neighbor as yourself. So the lawyer answered the Lord and told him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you, your neighbor, as yourself. And the Lord approved this and told him, you have answered rightly, do this and you will live. Which means, if any Christian kept these two commandments, loving God and loving the neighbor, then he will live eternally. And this is true because if we want to summarize the whole Bible in one word, it's going to be love. I think there is a song here says, the love, love, the Bible in a word is love. And that's true. The Bible in a word is love. The New Testament was written in Greek language. And in the Greek language, there are four words can be translated into love in English or in Arabic. These four words are eros, philia, storge, and agape, or agape. And when the Bible was written, the only word that was used for love is agape. So what are the difference between these four kinds of love? Between eros, between philia, and storge, and agape. It's very important to understand the differences between these four kinds of love, because we as Christians we are required to demonstrate our agape. And many times there is confusion between these four words of love. But if we understand clearly what are the differences, then we will know what God is expecting from us when He told us, love the Lord your God from your heart, from your strength, from your mind, from your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. The first word, eros, it means the selfish love. The love that only receives without giving. Love that seeks self-satisfaction. Love that wants to possess the beloved, own him, control him. Like when you say, I love apple, I love banana. This means you want to satisfy your desire by eating this fruit. And this word of love, as I told you, it's a selfish love, from which the word erotic is derived. It is lustful love. Many times when the youth say, we love this person, or a young man says, I love this girl, or a girl says, I love this boy, they mean the eros. I desire this man, or I desire this girl. I want to possess her. I want to own her. We have in the Bible, in the Old Testament, a story that reflects this kind of love. One of the sons of David, Amnon, loved his sister. She was a stepsister from his father. Loved his sister. And this love was not the genuine agape love, but it was the eros love. Until he deceived her and committed adultery with her. After that, the Bible tells us that the hatred with which he hated her more than the love that he loved her. Because this love was not the genuine agape love, but it was the selfish love. And my advice here, especially for the youth, when they use this word, I love this girl or I love this boy, they should examine what do they really mean by the word love here. Is it the erotic, selfish, lustful love, or the agape love? The second type of love, which is philia. Philia is a mutual love, like love between friends. This mutual love receives and gives. I receive love and I give love. This love also is conditional. What do you mean conditional? If the other person doesn't love me, I will not love him. If the other person hurt me, I will hurt him. So, the willingness to give, the willingness to stay in the relationship is conditional. And many times, the beloved needs to earn the love of the lover. the beloved needs to earn the love of the beloved of the lover. So this love is not given freely. You did a service for me, or you helped me in one situation, so I love you because of this. This love keeps the relationship, keeps the friendship between the people. The third type of love, storge, that is the family love. And God planted in our heart this kind of love because God cares so much about the family and wants the family to be strengthened. That's why He planted in our heart this kind of love, which is like anything, in order to strengthen the ties and the bond between the different members of the family. The daughter loves her mother. The son loves his brother. The cousins love each other. There is special bond. That's what we call it, storge. You don't work hard to love your brother or your sister, but it is planted in our hearts. This love, the storge, if it is not nourished by the divine love, it can be gone. Although it is instinct and God planted in our heart, but we may lose it. We hear about brothers and sisters who are fighting with each other, contending with each other, maybe suing each other in the court. So this kind of love need to be nourished by the divine love in order to survive and in order to grow. And the last type of love is what we call agape. We spoke about the eros, philia, storge, and now we speak about agape. And agape doesn't mean food. Because in our mind when we say agape, this means we're going to eat. Agape doesn't mean food. Agape actually is the genuine divine love. In order to understand agape, there are four characteristics about agape. The first characteristic is, it is willful love. Willful love. It starts in the mind, in the will, not in the heart, like the philia. The philia is emotional love, but the agape is a willful love. When the Lord told us, love your enemy, the Lord did not use the word, or the Bible when recorded this verse, they did not use the word philia, but they used the word agape. Because it is very difficult to have emotion for your enemy. Actually, if God asked us to love our enemies an emotional love, as if God giving us an impossible commandment, how you can develop emotions toward your enemy? It's very difficult. But when we understand agape, it is a willful love. It starts in your mind and in your will. Agape is a decision you make and a choice you choose and not an ability you have. It's very important to understand this. Agape is a choice and a decision, not an ability. Many people who stumble with the commandment of love, Because they think about the philia, the ability, the emotion. But if we understand that Arabi is a decision, I make a decision to love this person. Which means what? I will be kind to him. I will not repay his evil by evil, but I will repay his evil by good. I will forgive him. I will be patient with him. I will endure what he is doing with me. When I make these decisions, here I am exercising the agape. Like today, we celebrate the relocation of the relics of St. Stephen. St. Stephen made a decision to love his enemies, to love those who were stoning him. This was a decision that he made. And that's why he prayed for them and asked the Lord not to count this as a sin for them. St. Stephen exercised the virtue of agape. And because it is a willful decision, you can grow in this virtue. The more you exercise your will to love the others, the more you will grow in this virtue. And if we understand agape as a willful love, not an ability, we will never complain and say, but I cannot love this person. My heart is totally closed. I cannot love this person. When you say, I cannot, this means you didn't make the decision to love this person. But if you make this decision and if you choose this way, you will be able. That's why it is not an ability, but a choice and a decision you make. Number two, the agape is unconditional. You remember in the philia I told you it is a conditional love. But the agape is unconditional. The beloved doesn't have to earn the love of God. Your enemy doesn't have to earn your love. But it is given freely. Like the love of God towards us. Many times we offend God by our sins and our deeds. But God is still loving us and caring about us. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he did not die for the righteous, but he died for the sinners. He died for those who were his enemies. Because of our sins, we were enemy to God. And there was a separator, a wall, a veil separating us from God. And while we are in enmity with him, God died on the cross for us. This is unconditional love. St. Paul says, thus God demonstrated his love toward us. While we are sinners, Christ died for us. And I want to tell you here that when the Lord said, a new commandment I give you, to love one another as I love you. What is new in this commandment? Because the commandment of love is very old. So what is new in this commandment? This new dimension that the Lord gave to the love, the agape, the genuine, unconditional, willful love. So the word as I loved you, that is what make this commandment new. We need to love one another in the same way that God has loved us. And his love to us was unconditional and also willful love. The third characteristic of agape is a sacrificial love. I told you, eros receives only. Philia receives and gives. But the agape gives only without expecting to receive anything in return. That's what we call sacrificial love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. So the love of God was expressed in his giving. And what did he give? So God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved son, his only begotten son. He did not give us materialistic things, but he gave us himself. He shed his blood on the cross. There is no love greater than this, as the Bible says, that one lays down his life for his beloved. There is no greater love than this. It is a sacrificial love. You cannot say, yes, I love my brethren, yes, I love God, but you didn't show this in your deeds, in your works. Love is not by tongue and words. Love by action and deeds. Because only when you exercise this sacrificial love, you demonstrate to others that in reality you are loving others. You cannot say, I love God, without praying, without obeying his commandment, without coming to church, without studying and memorizing his scripture. You cannot say, I love God, while you are fighting with one another and contending with one another. St. John says, if anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he's a liar. Because if you cannot love your brother whom you see, how can you love God whom you do not see? Then love should be demonstrated by our works, by our action. I cannot hurt others and say I love, or I have the love of God in my heart. I cannot harm others and I say I have the love of God in my heart. We lie if we are saying this. The fourth dimension of love is it is limitless love. So if it is willful, unconditional, sacrificial, and limitless. What do I mean by limitless? It includes everybody. It does not discriminate against any person, but includes everybody. Like the love of God toward us includes sinners and righteous, men and women, children and elders, Jewish and Gentiles, black and white. There is no discrimination. Many times, for example, as Sunday school teachers or servants, we love the spiritual, polite kids in our class who don't give us hard time. But what about the others? What about the troublemaker? Do you love them? I think this is what differentiates us as a children of God. The Lord Jesus Christ one time said, if you love those who love you, what difference do you have? Even the tax collectors and the sinners do the same. And if you greet those who greet you, you are not different. Because everybody does the same. But when you love your enemies, when you love those who do not love you, and when you are kind to those who hurt you and persecute you and say all kind of evil against you, then you prove that you are children of God, who let his sun rise on the wise, on the righteous and the sinners, and sent his rain on the wicked and the righteous. Also, the limitless love, agape, is limitless in its depth. There is no limit. I cannot say, yes, I will love you and I do this, but I cannot do more. If you say I cannot do more, then you are putting limit. But the limitless love, the agape love, has no limit. In the Gospel of John, chapter 13, St. John says about the Lord Jesus Christ that he loved his own who are in the world. He loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. There was no limit to his love toward us. This is the agape, the genuine love that we as Christians are required to demonstrate in our life. It is a willful love, it is a sacrificial love, it is unconditional love, it is limitless love. Maybe you are thinking now, is it possible to reach the agape in its fullness? Is it possible for me to love my brother or even my enemy? This willful, sacrificial, unconditional, limitless love? The answer to this question is no. Then why I am telling you about this kind of love if the answer is no and nobody can reach the agape in its fullness? And why I'm saying the answer is no? The Bible tells us that God is love. So agape in its fullness, that's God. And it is only God who can love sacrificially, unconditionally, limitlessly, and of course willfully. So agape in its fullness is God. But we as Christian, we are required to grow every day in the agape. And because the fullness of agape is God, that's why every day there is a room for growth. Nobody can say, now I reached the perfect type of love. No. But every day you can grow in this love. And because agape is love, agape is God, and God is love, in order to reach the fullness of love, you need a limitless time, infinite time. And that's why eternity is limitless and infinite. And I want to tell you that in eternity, we will be growing in our love. So the growth in love will never end or cease here on earth. But even when we go to heaven, we will grow in love. Love is like the sun. And nobody can reach the sun, because if anybody reaches the sun, he will be burned. Those who are not practicing and living the genuine love agape as if they are living in ice. They are freezing in this coldness of lack of love. And when they grow, and they, when they approach this divine love, the agape, the warmth of this divine love will melt their hearts, and slowly their hearts will capture this divine love, and we will grow in this love day after day. And the more we grow, the more we approach God, and the more we become similar to God, Christ-like. That's why we need to exercise this kind of love every day, understanding that every day we must grow in this love. Love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You cannot exercise and you cannot grow in love unless if you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you cannot understand the depth and the meaning of this genuine love agape. As I told you, if a person is sitting away from the sun, he will never understand what the word warmth means, or sun rays means, or sunlight means. He has to go and live in the sunny places in order to understand what these words mean. In the same way, we have to let the divine love capture our heart so that we will be able to love one another. And the love of God is poured in our heart by the Holy Spirit. So, today God is knocking at the door of your heart in order to enter into your heart, in order to make you experience and feel His love toward you, in order to be captured by His own love. And here is only you will start to understand and to know and to learn how to love one another and how to love God. When Paul was captured by the divine love on the road to Damascus, Paul completely changed. After he was a violent man, after he was a man of killing, he approved the martyrdom of St. Stephen. St. Paul changed completely and he became a loving person. Why? Because his heart was captured by the divine love. And now he knows what this word means. And now he can practice and can exercise this kind of love. And he can love others. So the door, the Lord is knocking at the door of your heart today. He wants you first to experience His love toward you. And this will be the starting point in learning how to love one another and how to love God by experiencing the divine love in your heart. And let us remember that if we do this, if we love God with all our heart, with all our souls, with all our strength, with all our mind, and if we love our neighbors as ourselves, as the Lord said to the lawyer, do this and you will live. That is the eternal life. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.